Today is Wednesday, November 28th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And this week, Parshat Vayeshev. For those who are watching at home, I posted the artwork that we are going to be using on my Facebook page. Should be right above or right below this live broadcast. And for those of you who are here, everyone is invited to take one of these. Take one, please, and pass it around. And then I'm going to pass around yet another sheet with two sources on it. I printed it in color. Excellent. You came prepared, though. I'm very impressed. One merit point for you. You get some extra recess. Excellent.
I don't like recess.
So you have more time for learning. More time, more shiurim for you.
For free.
Okay. Can I have one of the pages that have the sources on them, please? When they're coming back around. I just need my own.
Here, Bear.
Thank you. Okay. Everyone have what they need, I hope. Okay.
You have one, Ross?
No.
Okay. So let's get started. We are going to be looking at three pieces of art that depict the sale of Yosef. And in terms of just looking at some of the psukim that we're going to need, you could turn to page 100. Parshat Vayeshev is on page 198, but the sale begins on page 204 and 205. Okay, so just a brief word about the three works of art. The one on the left by Donato Mascagni. He lived from 1579 to 1636. He was an Italian Renaissance painter, and he moved to a monastery 3 years after completing this work and became a priest. The one in the middle, Joseph sold by his brothers, Providence Lithograph Company, was published in 1907 by the Providence Lithograph Company. The actual person who did the work is unknown. And the one on the right, by Konstantin Flavitsky, brothers sell Joseph into slavery. Konstantin Flavitsky lived from 1830 to 1866. He was a Russian painter who studied at the Academy of Arts in St. Petersburg. I thank Al HaTorah, which is a wonderful website that provides Torah texts and commentary aspects of studying the Parsha through artwork. So they provided the work, and I'm working off some of their analysis as well. So there are a lot of, so everyone take a look at the pictures. Some of them are not as clear as I'd like them to be, and there may be aspects of it which you could see in a clearer version. For example, I'm going to be looking on a version that's on my computer screen. But we'll do the best we can. So here are the four issues that we're go. Well, why don't you look at them? Take a minute to look at them, and then we'll go ahead, because you'll see interesting differences or similarities between the depictions of the sale of Yosef. Okay, so if you notice, just briefly, all of them have some aspect of a monetary transaction going on in them. The one on the left by Mascagni, you could see the people on the right, they're dressed in yellow. If you see them, there's a whole group of them. They are dressed in yellow, and they are wearing red hats. And they are grouped to the right, and it seems that one of the brothers is standing with them, and he is opening his pouch or his purse, and they are placing money presumably for the purchase of Joseph, into that purse. Okay? That's the aspect of the money in the picture on the left. The picture in the middle has a different illustration in terms of the money. There, the payment is not being depicted, but what is being depicted there?
The counting.
The splitting.
The splitting.
Right? The splitting of the money between the brothers, how much they're each going to get for the sale of Yosef.
The one is counting.
In that one, yeah, Yosef is on his way. You're right. He's being dragged by his purchaser.
Pretty much in all the pictures. In the first two, the brothers are not looking at Yosef. They've just given up on him.
They've given up on him worse.
They've disowned him.
They're ignoring him. Yeah. Right? We'll get back to that. In the picture on the right, the Flavitsky picture, the brothers are also, you see, that they're going through they're looking at the money and you know, counting it, looking at it, divvying it up, whatever the case may be. So in the first one, the payment is the actual payment is being depicted, and the other two, the brothers dealing with the money they got is depicted. Also, what's interesting to note is that in the first two, right, the one on the left and the right, there's no eye contact at all being made between the brothers and Yosef. Right? They are ignoring him. Right? If you look at the first one, you get the picture that he's just totally...
First one, you're talking the one on the left?
Yeah. He's totally and completely bereft and hopeless, and he's begging with his eyes, it looks like, and the brothers are looking at each other. They're not at all paying attention to him. In the middle, he looks a little less helpless, Yosef, but also there, the brothers are ignoring him. Yeah, right, could be, or right. And on the Flavitsky picture, Yosef is tied up, by the way, in that picture, which he is not in the other pictures. And in that one, some of the brothers seem to be looking at him, but they don't seem to be looking at him with any degree of sorrow or concern. They seem to be looking at him out of, this is what you had coming. And the others are not paying attention to him at all. They're just counting their money. So I want to ask you a question about the groups, about the purchasers. Can you distinguish between the way, I'm not talking about the specific dress, because the Mascagni picture seems to me to be, you know, not at all in keeping with how people may have been dressed at that time, although I'm not sure 100%. But there's a very interesting difference, I would say, between pictures, between the Mascagni and the lithograph on the one hand and the Flavitsky on the other hand.
Well, in the middle picture, I would say that's probably what we think of as they dressed in those times.
Right, I don't want to get into that because I don't really know. But there's an interesting difference between the nature of the group of people who are buying Yosef in the Mascagni and the lithograph as opposed to the Flavitsky one. There seems to be a difference in the way that the buyers are depicted specifically in their dress between the Mascagni and the lithograph on the one hand and the Flavitsky on the other hand.
Well, in the first one, they have more of a uniform, like they have olive red hat versus
yes.
Flavitsky, which is their dress
up. Excellent. In the first, I would argue, I think Daniel's right, in the Mascagni and the lithograph, the buyers are all dressed the same. The people who are buying Yosef, they're dressed the same. In the Mascagni, they're all in the yellow with the red kippah and red socks. And in the lithograph, they all seem to have sort of a beige robe and some sort of head covering on. While if you look at the Flavitsky picture, they're dressed differently. Some of them have something over their head. Some of them have no shirt at all. One of them has a half tunic on. Another one in the back.
Yeah, but they are not for show and tell.
I don't know what I'll suggest what the reason is in a minute, but let's just point it out. that on the right side, the Flavitsky people, the buyers, are all dressed differently. And in the one in the middle and the one on the left, they're all dressed the same. And I think there is something to that in terms of how we understand the psukim in the Torah.
But in the first picture, you said the red cap. One of the brothers is also wearing a red cap.
And that's different. It looks like it's a different cap. It looks like it's a different cap, but it is red. Yeah. Okay.
They all dress basically alike.
Okay. All right. Very good. So that very good, Daniel. So now that we have looked at it, let's try to let's look at some of the specifics in the psukim. Okay. First of all, which of the brothers were involved in the sale of Yosef?
Which is not involved?
Which of the brothers were or weren't involved? You're saying?
Don't give his blood for when you put him in a bowl.
So let's read it. Let's look at page 204.
Yehudah said, why should we kill him? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites.
Okay, so the question is, which of the brothers was it? So let's start with the section where they want to kill him. And Reuven says, don't kill him. Right? Let's look on page 2. Let's look on page 203. Verse 18, page 203, Pasuk Yud Chet, verse 18, 202 and 203. Okay. The Pasuk says as follows. Vayiru oto merachok uveterem yikrav aleihem vayitnaklu oto lahamito. They saw him from afar and they conspired to kill him. I just read Yud Chet. Vayomru ish el achiv. We're going to kill him. Reuven says, let's not kill him. Reuven says, don't kill him, let's throw him in the pit. He comes, they take his coat off. They throw him in the boar. And then they go to eat food. And so they have this group of people that are coming. Okay, and here we have to pay attention that the group changes. At the beginning, they see a group of Yishmaelim, ba migilad, ugmalehem nosim, and they have their camels. Vayomer Yehuda el Echav, ma betza ki narog et achenu, v'chisinu et damo, l'chuvenim kerenu Yishmaelim. So now Yehuda is implicated 100%, but so is somebody else, because he says to his brothers, we don't know which of the brothers, but he says to the brothers, so Yehuda's not alone in this, right? He says to the brothers, Vayom Yehuda el Echav, let's sell him to Yishmaelim. V'yadenu al tihivo, ki achinu b'sarenu hu, v'yishmu Echav. Maybe he's afraid that he's going to die in this pit. Let's not have his blood on our hand. After all, he's our brother. Let's sell him. Now we have a new group. First we were talking about Yishmaelim. Now we have Midyanim. We'll get to there. So Charim v'yimshichu v'elu et Yosef min habor v'yimkeru et Yosef liYishmaelim. They grab him out. They sell him to the Yishmaelim. It's unclear. Besrim kasef for 20 silver pieces. V'yaviu et Yosef mitraima. They brought him to Mitraim. V'yashav Ruvain el habor. Now Ruvain comes back. So now who is definitely not involved in the sale?
Ruvain.
And who else?
Yehuda.
No, Yehuda is implicated. It was Benjamin. Why Benjamin? He's not there. Benjamin's not there. Yeah, Benjamin's not there. Benjamin was still at home. Okay? So we know that Reuven and Binyamin are not involved. We know that Yehuda is involved, but we don't know which other brothers are or are not involved. So now, let's look at the picture. If you look at the picture, For example, in the middle picture, the lithograph, they're not all there. Right? One, two, three, five of them are there. If we look at if we look at the Flavitsky picture, also they're not all there.
Well, there's some in the back.
Okay.
Some in the back.
But there's not 11 or 10 people there. Okay? And even in the Mascagni picture, they're not all there. So the question is, do these pictures are they a fair depiction of the text? Now, we could say the artists didn't really care, whatever they were using, but it's interesting for us. It raises the question as who were there. Normally, when we talk about this story, what do we say? Who sold Yosef? The brothers. We assume they're all there. But if you read some of the Mefarshim, that's not the case. For example, Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, who was a French Tosafist who lived in the 12th century, says the following. This is a fascinating commentary.
Do we have it?
No, you don't have it. When he's commenting on Pasuk Chavhe, on verse 25, where it says, Vayeshvu le'echol lechem, that they went to eat, right? After they've decided to put him in the pit, they then went to eat. So he says, who went to eat? What is their job, these people? What are they doing?
They're shepherds.
They're shepherds. So he says they can't all go to eat. Some of them have to
watch
the sheep, and some of them have to eat. So what he says is they work on shifts. Some of them eat while the other ones watch the herd. And then when the ones who are eating are finished, they come and watch the herd, and the other ones go to eat. So based on that, the Bechor Shor says as follows. Derech haroim shemiktzatam ochlim umiktzatam omdim al habehemot. Some of them eat, and some of them stand watch over the animals. V'achar she'achlu miktzatam, hochim otam she'achlu el habehemot, v'achirim ochlim. And then they switch. V'ein darkam lecho kulam yachad. It's not their custom to eat all together, because someone's got to do the work. V'haya ochel Yehuda umiktzat echav. Yehuda and some of his brothers were eating. They see the caravan. V'ruvenu miktzat echav hayu shomrim hatzon. Ruvain and some of the others, because it says, Vayeshev Ruvain. Ruvain came back. Where did he come back from? Where was he? Maybe he was eating. He was shepherding.
No, he was eating.
I'm sorry.
No.
1 second. I'm reading his interpretation.
Oh.
You have every right to disagree, but let me write what he says first, right? So, Yehuda and the group, they're eating, and they see this caravan coming. Ruvain and the others are watching the sheep. Who knows where they are? Ulefichach lo yada Ruvain b'mechirato. Ruvain, the Bechor Shor argues, and I think by extension, the other ones who were eating with Ruvain didn't see this whole thing happen. There's half of them are eating, and they see the caravan, and they sell them. Ruvain comes back and says, what happened?
Where is he?
Because he wasn't around. It actually fits in very well with the way the psukim are organized. Because in Chaf Tet it says, Vayashav Ruvain el Habor. Ruvain returned to the pit. Where was he? Now some say he was out. The other story that comes up later he may have been somewhere else. So that's the Bechor Shor. So if that's true, if the Bechor Shor is right, then the pictures make perfect sense. Half the brothers were there for the sale. Half the brothers were out working. They came back. They have no idea what happened to him. And nonetheless, they're all implicated.
It also shows,
but
it shows callousness. They threw their brother in the pit, and they sat down to eat.
Yes, it does. Yes. Ron, what do you want to say?
Well, the problem is Reuben was involved in the throwing them into the pit.
I'm asking who was involved in the sale.
In the sale.
In the sale. It seems like not Reuben.
No, Reuben was not involved in the sale. The other
right.
brothers. Because Reuben.
Well, which other brothers? Which other brothers? We don't know. We don't know. It's unclear. So that's an interesting take, okay? So
we know Yehuda's the.
Yehuda's definitely implicated. Yes. Okay, next. Let's look at the next question. Let's look at the coat. Let's look at Yosef's coat in the picture. His coat appears in all the pictures. It's hard to see. In the Masgagni picture, the brother on the far left with the red hat and the red tights.
Carrying his coat.
Has a coat, presumably, Yosef's coat, under his arms. What do you notice about that coat that does not fit with the Broadway story?
No, not many colors.
It's one color. It's a blue coat. Okay, excellent. Now, in the look at the middle picture, the lithograph. Also, the brother's holding a coat. That one looks like it is multicolored. That one looks all right. And this one, this is hard to tell. It's easier to tell if you have a clearer image. Do you see the coat in the picture by Flavitsky?
No.
Unless
back
it's on
left.
His lap. It's on his lap.
Back left.
It's not a multicolor.
Back left of the picture. It's hard to see, but what they're doing is they are dipping that coat. They are dipping something. It looks like they're dipping the coat, presumably dipping it into the blood. It's hard to tell exactly what the coat looks like in the clear picture. That I have, but it is. You could say it in the Flavitsky if you blow it up and look carefully. It definitely is multicolored. So you have two of the pictures indicating a multicolored coat, right? And one of the pictures indicating a single color coat. Now the question is, why do we think it's multicolored?
Because they say,
the question is, pasim in modern Hebrew means stripes. Yeah, right. But it doesn't necessarily mean that in biblical Hebrew. It doesn't necessarily. So here's the midrash. Take the midrash that I gave you, the sheet that I gave you. Okay. A quick note, Elaine, I think you, some of the brothers who were there are implicated for not stopping it. But some of the brothers may not have been there when the sale happened, in which case they would bear no blame, if you follow the Bechor Shur. Okay. Okay, so now, let's look at this Midrash. Let's start the Midrash, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines from the top of the Midrash, where it says, Resh Lakish, third word on the line, Resh Lakish. 5 lines from the top. Resh Lakish. Okay? Resh Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, said, one should not treat one of his sons differently, for because of the ketonet pasim his father Yaakov made for Yosef, they hated him. Now the Midrash goes in to explain what pasim means. Pasim. For it reached the palm, pas, of his hand. So according to this opinion, pasim does not mean it was striped. It means it was long-sleeved, which may have been something fancy. It was more expensive. It required more workmanship. It required more material. Maybe so it was cost more money.
You mean it reaches here?
Yeah, it went
that's
to the...
What he meant, pass?
That's what it means, the palm of his hand. Yeah, it was a long sleeve.
This is the palm.
It was long sleeve. Another explanation, for it was exceedingly thin and light and could be hidden in the palm of the hand. That's interesting, right? It was pasim, for they can't... Okay, so... That's another interpretation. Again, none of these interpretations have anything to do with the color of the coat.
Okay? It wouldn't have been hand-me-down either.
Correct. It wouldn't have been hand-me-down. And also, maybe pasim. It was called pasim, for they cast lots over it for which of them would take it to his father and selected Yehuda. Meaning, when the Torah says that Yaakov gave him a ketonet pasim, it's foreshadowing what the coat is going to be called. It was called pasim because they cast lots over who was going to take the coat back to Yaakov. And pas in biblical Hebrew, pious in biblical Hebrew, even today, right? The lottery in Hebrew is called the pious, right? So they cast lots over who was going to bring the bad news back to Yaakov. Pasim on account of the troubles that overtook him. It's a mnemonic. Pei stands for Potiphar. Samach for Sochrim, the ones who sold him. Traders Yishmaelim. And Mem, Midyanim. All these different people who caused them trouble. So it's called Pasim because it just it's representative. But what does the Midrash not say? The Midrash does not say it was a colorful coat. Right? There are other sources that say that. But so now, if you go back into the picture, maybe they're right. We don't know. And in fact, if you look, there's a pasuk in Shmuel, and a pasuk in Daniel where the word is used, specifically the word pasim is used, and in neither one does it mean colored or striped. So we have this notion that it's colored and striped based on other commentaries, and however, there's it's not conclusive that that is the case, which brings us back to the picture, that maybe the picture is right. Maybe it was just a nice coat, a long sleeve coat, a thin coat, embroidered, or just a coat that was called pasim because of what it became to be meant, and the Torah just sort of retroactively sticks the name back in there, even though it only became that a little bit later.
I didn't understand what it is. Can you explain to me again the palm again? What is the word pas is a palm in English?
The Midrash says that pas, maybe in Biblical Hebrew, or the Midrash says it means the palm of his hand. So it probably came up to the palm of his hand, which is the wrist. It was a long sleeve coat. Okay. It was a long sleeve thing. Okay? Okay, yeah. Say again?
Why did he decide the brother soul? Because text says
correct
that actually two different groups of people were facing him.
Right. Correct. You're right. A major flaw in all the picture is that the text doesn't actually say that the brothers sold him. The brothers had the idea to sell him, but then other groups came, took him out, and sold him. That's true.
So
that's a very good point.
Get the money if the money
that would be a problem in these pictures. That if you read the psukim very, very carefully, you could come to the conclusion that the brothers did not sell him. In which case, the brothers getting this money seems to be inaccurate.
Have they been agents of the brothers?
Maybe.
Only.
What?
Maybe they got only, how do you say, like
a finder's fee. A finder's fee, right.
It was a moment when two groups, one watched sheep, another one went to eat, and nobody was watching after yours.
Right, it could be. Although there is a note that says that they went to eat, and then they saw the Midianites coming, but then it all breaks down, right? If we look at the Pesukim one more time, it all breaks down. Because if you look at, let's go back to Pasuk 25, Vayeshvu lecho lechem, they go to eat, and then they see this caravan of Yishmaelim coming. And Yehuda then says, why should we kill him? Let's sell him. And then the Midianim come, and they take him out of the pit, and they sell him to the Yishmaelim. So it could be that the Midianim are working for the brothers, because the brothers want to sell him to the Yishmaelim, but maybe not directly. So they ask the Midianim to take him out and sell him to the Yishmaelim. Or it could be that they weren't involved in the sale at all. It's
well,
a great possibility.
They didn't
all right.
want to dirty their hands. It says why do...
By killing him. They want to dirty their hands by killing him, but they want to sell him.
Based on the geography, which group would be far away from Yaakov's settlement not to pass with this sold boy? We have to look, okay, he was sold to Egypt, right?
Right.
And where was
Yeah, you know, hold that thought. Let's go. I want to look back at the picture because I want to now address this question of why in the Maskagni and the lithograph, all of the purchasers of Yosef are dressed the same, while in the Flavitsky, they're dressed differently. They have different uniforms.
So in the Flavitsky, maybe these are the mix.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And if you read I'll read you the commentary, exactly. The commentary, again, the Bechor Shur, the same person, says something fascinating. He says, Midyanim, by the way, it's three groups, because it's Yishmaelim, then it's
and the brother.
Midyanim, and then there's another group, no, besides the brothers. I know the brothers. Okay, so let's just... The Bechor Shur says this. Midanim, Midainim, V'Yishmaelim. Achim Hayu, Mibnei Pilagshe Avraham. Right? All of these nations were born from Avraham's Pilagshot. Yishmael ben Hagar, Umidan, Umidyan, Mibnei Keturah. So from Hagar and Keturah. Uva'oto Chavura, Haya Sham Mibnei Yishmael, Ubibnei Midan, Ubibnei Midyan. You're exactly right. Different people. Right? They were all hanging out together. Ulekach, Pamim Koreotan Yishmaelim, Pamim Midanim, Pamim Midainim. Right? That's why they're called different things at different times. Okay? Okay, hold on. They're called different things at different times. If you go back to the picture, the Flavitsky picture, now could make sense. They're different groups, they're different traditions, they dress differently, but they're all mixed together in one group. They're not all from the same tribe, but for some reason they all sort of work together.
At the time of the history, people used to sell people as slaves.
Yes. So
it's not something out of the ordinary.
Correct. That's not that.
The only thing that's out of the ordinary, that's their brother.
Yes, that's true. That is true. Now,
the third group.
The group, here are the groups. If you look in, we saw Yishmaelim. If you look in Chafchet, it's Midyanim. On page 204, Chafchet, Midyanim. And if you then look in, see, where is it?
36.
In Chafchet, Chafchet, Midyanim, and in 36, Midanim. In Lamed Vav, Midanim. So you have three groups, Midyanim, Yishmaelim, and Midanim.
Midanim.
Yeah, Midyanim, Midanim, and Yishmaelim. Okay?
I think it's a mistaken spelling.
Okay, so I don't believe it's a typo. So if you look at, so that helps us understand the difference in dress. Now, finally, one last point. Look, in all the pictures, Yosef is pleading with the brothers on some level, right? In the one on the left, it's very obvious that Yosef is
in
still distress. The one in the middle, yeah, he's looking back, he's right. And in the one in the right, he's looking back at them. Okay, they all show on some level Yosef pleading for mercy from his brothers. However, it's missing from the text. Read the text. There is no at all indication that Yosef verbally, we'll never know for sure if he protested with his eyes or with his hands, but there's nothing at all about a verbal protest.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. So where does this come from?
From human nature.
Okay.
Artistic license.
It's poetic license. You're right. It's poetic license. It's art license.
It's what philosophy?
Christian philosophy.
Why?
Because actually, Paul is about selling Jesus, very much reflects selling Joseph. And people did not read the text enough well, because you can see you cannot really blame brothers for selling Joseph.
What does that have to do with I'm talking about the pleading.
I'm talking about if you look at art in Renaissance and then in Dutch painters, they always have emotional expression on Jesus' face that he is asking for.
Okay, so that's interesting. That's very interesting. It could also be just human nature that we would expect
exactly
him to be pleading. Yeah. Yeah, could be. It could be. But if you look in chapter 42, my dear friends, chapter 42, Pasuk 21. Perek Membet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, page 236 and 237. This is after they've all been thrown in jail. Vayomru ish el achiv, aval ashemim anachnu, we are guilty. Al achinu ashera inu tarat nafsho, we saw his language. Behitchanenu elenu, when he pleaded with us when we were selling him. So we know he pleaded. Now you should ask another question. We know he pleaded. This should raise a question.
Why did it come at this point and not at the beginning?
Right. If he pleaded, why isn't it in the story of the sale? That seems like is where it should be.
Yeah, but
right?
It's a repetition of the same people.
But no, here the brothers are saying, it's not a repetition. The brothers are saying, we now regret selling him. And we regret selling him especially because he was kvetching.
Here they are standing next to Yosef.
No, they're not. They're talking to themselves at this point.
No.
Why wasn't this told at the time of the story? So the Ramban, which I have for you in Hebrew, but I'll read for you in English, discusses it. Okay? Asher ra'inu tzarat nafshenu, when we saw the distress of his soul when he implored us. So he says, it is obvious that the brothers now considered their display of cruelty towards Joseph as deserving of greater punishment than the sale itself. Right? It's interesting. They don't talk about the sale. They don't say, oh, this is bad that we sold him. It says, oh, this is bad that we ignored his pleas. Right? They realize that that's maybe even worse, as deserving of greater punishment than the sale itself, since it was in their blood brother who was imploring and prostrating himself before them that they remained unmoved. Scripture, however, did not relate there, right, that Joseph implored them at the time of the sale either, because it is naturally understood that a person would implore his brothers when falling into their grip, when their intention is to harm him, swearing by the life of his father and doing all that is possible to save himself from death. So why wasn't it recorded there? Because it was obvious that he did it. He didn't have to tell us. Or it may be the desire of Scripture to speak only briefly of their sin. Right? Had they said at the time of the sale, and Yosef begged, it would have made it even worse. And the Torah wants to, for some reason, protect them.
Yeah.
Or it is possible, that's answer number two. Number three, or it is possible that it is characteristic of Scripture to speak briefly about a matter in one place, and to elaborate it on
also,
another
wasn't it
place.
In the context of them losing their youngest brother to Joseph, who they didn't know was, maybe it all came back to them? Because didn't he say, I want your youngest son, to, youngest brother
yeah.
to stay here?
They're so, all in jail at this point.
So, yeah, but they, he keeps the youngest one, right?
Yes, he
so
offers that the way out.
He just came
yeah.
back to them, had we maybe listened to him in the first place.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. All
we're
right, so
again.
So if you look at the, so just to review, if you look at the picture, the four questions we dealt with are the number of brothers involved in the picture. It is not clear at all that they were all involved in the sale, except if you read the Pesukim, it makes more sense that some of them were not, like the Bechor Shur. The color of the coat, what was it? Was it striped? Was it single color? Was it long sleeve? Was it embroidered? Was it light? Unclear from the text. Pasim does not mean what we've always thought it meant. The nature of the buyers, are they all the uniformly dressed, or not uniformly dressed, which may indicate there was more than one group involved, which makes a lot of sense in the Pesukim. And four, Yosef imploring his brothers not to sell him, which is not in the actual story, but is in a little bit of the brothers' recapitulation and their feelings of guilt. So again, we've done this before, but looking at pictures, it's a wonderful way for us to look. I like the point that there may have been Christian or other influences in this. That's certainly possible. This definitely influenced, because I really do not believe that if you look at the Mascagni picture, that people were dressed like that in those times. It seems like they're dressed like colonists.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Right. Yeah. Leora, hold on, Leora. Oh, okay. So I said it on the way in. Very quickly, the first one, Mascagni, I said he lived from 1579 to 1636 and later became a priest. He's Italian. 1579 to 1636. The middle illustration by an unknown artist was 1907. It's from Providence. I don't know if it's Providence, Rhode Island, or some other Providence. Yeah, and finally, the Flavitsky, 1830 to 1866, Russian.
He was 36 years old.
Russian.
1836 to 1866.
Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.
So, Dharma, thank you.